Hey, thanks to David Politis. Incredible work, incredible research with really scary stories, to be sure. We're going to have open lines for you this hour. I've got to tell you a story. By the way, with open lines, share some of your frightening stories with me tonight. Let me tell you what happened today. I bought, a couple weeks ago, a little tiny food processor, you know, with the little blade on the inside. But this was a real small one. And I was making, I'm Middle Eastern, I was making up tabbouleh today. Now, for some of you who might not know what that is, it's a combination of tomatoes, onions, parsley, and wheat. And I'm not a gluten problem. And so, you know, you make it up. And I'm not going to tell you the recipe, but I was chopping up the parsley and the onions in the food processor. This little tiny food processor, the thing must have been about 8 inches long. Okay, and spinning it around, and you plug it in, and then the top you hook in, and that's what turns on the food processor. There's no switch. It's the top. It clicks in to something that's inside there, and it's spinning around, and the parsley's getting all chopped up and everything. It was great. Now it's time to take that stuff out and put it into a mixing bowl. And, of course, hey, I'm smart enough to know, unplug the thing. Not going to reach in there with a blade. And so I unplugged it. I take the lid off the food processor. I'm ready to reach in to grab it and to dump everything in the bowl. Keep in mind, it's unplugged. It starts spinning. I'm telling you, had I put my fingers in there, they would have been part of whatever I was trying to cook up. I have no idea why this would spin. It was unplugged. It makes no sense. But I had this incredible feeling not to grab it, and it saved me. But you know what? I'm going to send this back. There's something wrong. There's a short in there. There's something strange about this one. Anyways, let's take your calls when I come back on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you. Open lines. Just about anything goes. Let's go to the phones to get started. Let's pick it up by going to Tim in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Hey, Tim. Thanks for calling. Go ahead. Hold there. Tim, are you there? There you go.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep, loud and clear.
I've been studying metaphysical defense for about 20 years. 7 years ago, at night, it was dark, I opened my back door to look in my yard, and I saw a beam of energy come straight down into the yard. All right, now there's one picture. Here's the second picture.
Okay.
The important part is, I don't dream, you see? One day in the afternoon, I went into a lucid dream state. And what I saw was a reptilian. He had a human-type body, uniform on, and a reptilian head. And he was herding naked humans into a corner of a ship, okay?
All right.
Then the dream switched to a strange creature tilling the land, tilling the land. And the message I got, it was a verbal message, was that they were being taken to a farm to be eaten for food.
Oh, my.
Okay? Now, just as a side note, not connected to that, one night I looked in my yard at night and I saw a Bigfoot. But this Bigfoot, it's nothing to do with the first part. This Bigfoot wasn't like an ape-like. It was like a square shape. And, you know, it kind of was friendly. But the information I've given you is exact.
Strange, Tim. My God.
Yeah.
Are we under attack by ETs?
Well, I think that's what it is. I mean, we live in a vast creation, and why couldn't there be some species who just look at us as food?
Well, remember To Serve Man, that Twilight Zone episode.
What was that about, shortly?
Oh, my God. It was years ago, but it was about it's the name of the book. The book cover was To Serve Man, and everybody thought, hey, these are benevolent. These are happy people. Somebody realized that it was a cookbook, that they were eating people. So Go ahead and rent it. It's great. Let's go to Michael in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Michael, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, George. George, I have been on the radio the last 2 days talking about Pastor Lindsey Williams and his interviews with you.
Mm-hmm.
And the impact has been tremendous, and here's why.
All right.
Think about this. Here's a man who told us how he came to know of a great oil conspiracy to control the world, to set up a world government under oil, the greatest oil men in the world. This man, the chaplain to the largest oil companies in the world while they were building the Alaska pipeline, has made it clear that a situation which we have now, where Rex Tillerson, the head of the world's largest oil company, good friend to a man now reputed to be the richest man in the world, an oil man by the name of Vladimir Putin.
Yeah,
listen, happening while Donald Trump has never revealed his tax returns, so we don't know how deeply he is into oil. We do know this. We do know that his biggest creditor is the Deutsche Bank in Germany. We know that his father came to America as a draft dodger, just as Hitler went to Germany as a draft dodger from Austria. Now, knowing all that, and knowing that we have an electoral college which is going in the blind, not knowing how much Donald Trump plans to enrich himself as an oil man, knowing all that, our Senate Intelligence Committee is meeting to look into Russian influence in this election, where, listen to this now, Donald Trump's wife was taught 5 languages at the KGB School of Languages. She was born behind the Iron Curtain, and her father was a high-ranking communist official. Now, here in Virginia Beach, we had to pray our governor, former governor, Bob McDonnell, out of prison. And we did it on the air to keep him and his wife out of prison. This man was the leading person in America to become the next president of the United States when this strange Justice Department prosecution came down against him. Now, what about this man?
Well, and one of the things you're talking about is the head of Exxon has been nominated to be the Secretary of State, and he is an oil man. No doubt about it, obviously. And there may be some ties to Putin, who's one of the richest people in the world right now because of energy and oil and everything else. I don't know about the other things, about the KGB School of Languages or anything else. I'm not sure that the Exxon head, his appointment, is going to get through Congress. I just don't think it's going to happen, Michael, but we shall find out. As for the Electoral College, they meet in about 5 days, and there's no question in my mind that Mr. Trump will get certified as our next president. And there will be some defectors, of course, from the Electoral College, but not enough to put Hillary in office. And I think what you got to do with Trump is give him a chance. And, you know, you may not like to hear that, but let's give him a chance. And you know what? If you don't like what he does, 4 years go by awfully fast, and you vote him out. Dexter's in Portland, Oregon now. Hey, Dexter, welcome to the program.
Hey, George, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, it's good to talk to you. So today being the 14th of December now, we're on the anniversary of Sandy Hook. And ever since that happened, it's left a bad taste in my mouth for multiple reasons. And I just want to ask you, George, do you think we've been told the whole truth about what happened at that situation?
Well, I'm convinced, Dexter, that it did happen. I'm not sure we've been told everything, what happened. But we did lose a lot of children, and families are just in shock still over that situation. But there might have been more to it.
I think so, because, like, when you look back at it, I mean, you had the multiple people in the woods being chased down by the police, and that's never been explained. You had a FEMA drill going on nearby that had to do exactly with a disaster dealing with child victims. The news coverage was very weird. It always looked like there was people just standing around, and there was no helicopters that came in to try to save anyone. You know, the so-called long gun was found in the shooter's car outside of the school, outside of where the crime scene actually happened. I mean, there's so many things that just don't make sense. And I don't know, man, it's always just left a bad taste in my mouth, you know?
Lots of strange things happening on this planet, and lots of manipulation going on for other reasons. But like some of the conspiracy theorists who say it never happened, no, it happened, sadly enough. Why and how? We really don't really know. Let's go to Mark in Baltimore. Welcome to the show. Hey, Mark, go ahead.
Hi, George. Thank you very much. I want to focus back to David Politis's case study on... You and I are both veterans, and there was a body that was involved in this one. I want to go back to the United States Navy. I'm not exactly verbatim. I tried to take notes. What was the name of the school again? The Secret Seal Evasion
School? Oh, the Naval Evasion School.
Okay. And the body is there on that base, right?
Yes.
No one was allowed on that base.
Yeah, they were on. It was a big base, but they were on the outskirts.
So by accident, she stepped into the boundaries, the border.
Yep.
Inside. She got inside by accident. Why would she die there?
Good question. Who knows?
Why would she die there and be left there? Wasn't her family? Didn't she have any ID on her? Why didn't the government? Is this the one where he got the redacted documents from?
I think so.
That case needs to be investigated further.
Oh, yeah, he's going to dig into it.
You and I both know that. I was in SAR, okay? When I was in the Navy, you were an officer. I was enlisted, all right?
Yeah, but you probably saw more action than I did.
One of my collateral duties was SAR. Right? I know how it's not just, you know, it can be just volunteers out here in civil life, but... I kind of know how that operates, and I think this case needs to be studied. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think that there's an explanation for that one, right?
No, there's no explanation. That's why he needs to study it. Somebody's got to start investigating all these cases over again. Look, nobody has investigated these missing people or dead people showing up better than David Politis. And this one, of course, on a naval training place... It's weird. It really is. Annie in Alabama now. Hi, Annie. It's your turn.
Thank you, George. I'd just like to clarify something I said that people heard incorrectly. What I said was that my doctors have diagnosed me with heart failure, and they say I'm not able to wash all these heavy sheets and blankets by hand because they mildew and then I have to wash them over. What I meant to say was that just as soon as I find... an affordable analog washer, it's got to be analog, washer, dryer, and stove, whether it's new or used, I'd be happy to have a way to cook and wash. It's just that my life savings were stolen through identity theft, my inheritance in my home, it was all taken away from me.
Oh,
I was left
God.
Homeless on the street with this so-called diagnosis, which the doctors claim to be heart failure, and I still don't believe that.
How much did they take from you?
Everything I had. every single
Did they ever catch them?
No. The man that was behind it is dead, and I'm glad he got what he had coming to him. The Bible says that what goes around comes
around. You weren't able to reclaim it, or is it just gone?
I got my home back. I went to federal court, and it took a bankruptcy to get it back because there was mortgage fraud involved in it. And
my God.
What you call house stealing is what the FBI.
Yeah, we've been running some commercials for a company that tries to prevent that. I didn't even know what that was.
Well, there's an actual thing in bankruptcy court that can often be used to get your home back if it's not too late. And my lawyer was real good. And after he got my home back for me, he said he was going to do everything he could to get everything else back. It didn't look too good. I've got an inheritance of $3 million that disappeared. I never saw it.
What? $3 million? Who gave you that?
My aunt, Juanita Dewberry. And I never
How did she
that.
Make her money?
She worked for the State Department. She ran the Fulbright Scholarship Program. And I've got a big collection of Chinese artifacts and things that people brought her from China that's just beautiful.
Where's your $3 million?
Well, they took it before I ever got it, so they didn't technically steal it from me personally. They stole it in the transition of the estate.
Jeez, Annie, that's a lot of money. A lot of money indeed. Kevin in Hollywood, California. Go ahead, Kev.
Hello, George.
Hi there.
How bizarre it is that I came home from work and the family had made some tabbouleh.
And thank God nobody chopped their fingers off doing it.
Well, they did it the old-fashioned way. But I have a question. Does that thing have a battery in it, your machine?
No. Well, I don't think it does, but that's a good question. I looked for it. There is no battery in it, but I thought about that, too. After it was,
and it's unplugged, right?
It was unplugged. It
okay.
was there was no. What would cause that to spin for 3 or 4 seconds?
Okay, here's the thing. You know, we've been talking about this for many years. That we all feel something, whatever it is, it's happening or changing.
Yes.
Whatever it is, it's amplifying. Were you thinking of the thing spinning? Did you think?
Yes.
Of it?
Yes. The reason I didn't reach into it right away, and keep in mind it was off, was because I kind of visualized that it was going to be moving.
Uh-huh.
And I kind
of... whatever we've been talking about for all these years is amplifying. Did you feel it?
I hope I didn't cause it.
It?
Did, yeah, I was going to say, did I cause it?
Uh-huh.
That's scary all by itself.
There's no way that thing can spin. It's unplugged. It doesn't have a battery source. It can't store energy in there, and that motor won't spin until it has power. The only way it would happen is that you cause it to happen.
Jeez.
And you know that you're a magnet, right?
Yes.
For all these things, because you talk about it so much. By God, I don't know. I'm surprised. The only weird thing that's happened to you.
Oh, my God. Baby, I've been lucky so far. Thanks, Kevin. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back for more. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Do follow us on Twitter. We send out information like that all the time. And, of course, we'll be back with more of your calls in a moment. On our next Coast to Coast program, Leonard David joins me as we talk about our future on the red planet. Looking forward to that. And then William Henry back on Coast to Coast to talk about some spiritual things. Okay, great. Welcome back to our final segment here, Open Lines on Coast to Coast. Let's pick it up by going to Patricia in Long Beach, New York. Long Branch, New Jersey. There we go. Hi, Patricia.
Hi, George. I love your show, and your guest tonight's awesome. And one thing that really struck me about these cases, I studied as a child. I used to go to New York to Samuel Weiser's and go through the
great bookstores.
Great store. Now, the fact that these people are shirtless or their clothes are unzipped, it almost seems to indicate that whatever is apparently attacking them needs to have some kind of physical contact, whether it's to suck the life force out or try and get into their genetics somehow. But I have a painting by an artist named Joel McVeigh, who lives in San Diego, and it was on his Facebook page. And it is an exact picture of a clear snake-like thing with DNA strands. He did it, hand did it 30 years ago with thousands of stipple works. It sounds like what that person photographed accidentally while she was in the blind. And the other thing I wanted to tell you is I was once mowing the lawn, mm-hmm. and the lawnmower would not stop. I let go of the handle,
oh.
I turned off to it, and it was like a comedy. I was going around and around, and it was a battery-operated electric lawnmower. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, sooner or later the charge is going to run out. My father's pulling out all the plugs, and it's so much to take the whole thing apart before it stops. So maybe I had a demonic lawnmower. But that's what I wanted to bring up, though, is about the weird thing about the clothing being off. And the weirdest thing is how they're placed. That I don't understand.
Yeah, the whole thing is strange. It really is. And perplexing because, you know, logic tells you serial killer, murderer, something like that. But that's not what's happening. That's what's so puzzling about all this. Charles is with us, Elgin, Texas. Thanks for calling, Charles. Go ahead.
Hey there. Well, I was going to ask you, when will you have a show that'll, well, you're going to have maybe like Ellen Brown on to talk about the National Bank in relation to us having maybe a guaranteed annual income, looking at that idea, and our universal basic income, like they call it in Switzerland. And also relating that to, like, the sort of, they used to talk about in the 60s, the cybercultural revolution, where we were supposed to have all this automation and robotics that was going to help us all to have more leisure time. They were even worried about it. But in relation to that, and also the economic benefit of something like a guaranteed annual income, as opposed to, you know, military spending or something else. I mean, it's shifting the economy over toward actually doing things that everyday people like you and me need, as opposed to, you know, like food, housing, that kind
sure.
of stuff.
Sure. What would the guaranteed income be, and how would they pay for it?
Well, that's the whole thing. A national bank, one thing, you can spend money into existence. I know it sounds strange. It's the Alice in Wonderland. People don't know much about the currency. What they're calling money is generated. They don't know how the Federal Reserve, which is not, of course, everybody knows this by now, is a private corporation or private consortium. You know, but even though it's chartered and it has a special situation, but you know, there's a lot of these private central bank networks across the world. There's a few national banks still left, and in fact, there's some states in this country that have state banks, I think like North or South Dakota or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's why they are able to afford everything that they need, because they can basically, they basically loan to themselves. But the thing is, in the case of the money supply, you know, paying for things, we used to have a thing called the United States Note. I think people ought to look into the history of that.
Well, let me tell you what, Charles, in order to accomplish what you've just talked about, it's going to take a dramatic change and a gutsy change at that. And Trump might be the one to do that. I mean, he's going to have to shake some things up. Let's see what he can do. I think the Internal Revenue Service has got to change. I like the use tax. We have Bill Spillane coming on every tax season. Something's got to change dramatically to really pump up this economy again. Let's go to Barbara in Vancouver on the international line. Barbara, welcome to the program.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm so glad you have your fingers.
Oh, my gosh, me too. That was weird.
It's like a microcosm of what I'm going to mention.
All right, and somebody emailed me and said there could be a capacitor in the little machine that kept the charge. I don't know. I'll have to check that out.
I'm not really technical, but I do astrology from time to time. And as a Canadian, just want to say that I'm just an observer
mm-hmm.
to U.S. politics. So all I can see, it's obvious the elites hate Donald Trump for some reason.
Yes, they do.
Anyway, I was looking at your chart of all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're a Gemini. I think the moon's in Aquarius.
I am a Gemini.
Yeah, and then I was looking at the other Gemini, Donald Trump, and he has an amazing chart. But then I saw something that really, you asked for scary. This is scary. On Sunday, that's the 18th, Mars, the planet of violence, head wounds, Aries, it rules Aries, is opposite his progressed sun, which is on his ascendant, which is what he is and how he presents to the world. 29 degrees Leo and 29 degrees Aquarius, and not only that, the moon comes and sits on the, that's the everyday affairs, things, you know, topical. Which, it, all of this means that he has, he's in danger at that time.
So Sunday's going to be a bad day for him, you're saying?
Well, if it was my child, I would put them in a windowless bathroom and lock them in there for the day. Protect them. However, he can't live like that. But just, I would like to just give a shout out to professional astrologers, people who do this for good, to help people. We know the bad guys always exploit weaknesses, and they would know about this.
Okay.
But I would ask that they really look at this, and anyone who has access to Donald Trump, to make him aware of it, because it affects his wife's chart, too.
All right, and you say that's for Sunday. I hope he takes heed is always extra careful and doesn't do silly tweets, which could be part of that, too, Barbara. You never know. Robert's in Del Mar, California now, west of the Rockies. Hey, Robert, welcome to the program.
Hey, George. It's a pleasure to finally talk to you.
Thanks for calling.
Hey, I have a little bit of a scary story for you. Okay?
All right.
This happened back in 1995. I was stationed up there in Bremerton, California, and I used to be part of a witches coven up there. And one night, me and...
You were part of a witches coven?
Yes, a witch coven.
Wow.
It was a Dianic tradition. We believed in the ways of the earth and everything else. And but one night we went up in about an hour northeast of Seattle, and we found this beautiful spot, and we were planning on doing getting in contact with our spirit animals. We had a Indian shaman meet us up there, and this guy was really, really gray. We knew him as gray, because if you're familiar with magic, all magic is gray.
Right, right.
Neither good nor evil. It can go either way. So basically, we were all doing our own individual quest, when all of a sudden something happened to me that people would construe as something possibly evil. And at first it kind of was, but in the long run, I learned to work with it. And eventually it kind of became my own personal guardian angel. It helped me. It gave me a lot of drive.
What was it?
Out of myself. It was the spirit of the Wendigo. It came into contact with me, and Gray stopped it from hurting anybody. Basically, he stopped me from hurting everybody else there.
Would you have?
Honestly, I don't know. I was panicking, because, as you know, the Wendigo is a ravenous spirit, a cannibal spirit. It's an Indian spirit.
Right, and you don't sound like a violent person.
I'm more mellowed out nowadays.
You used to be, huh?
I'm a proud father.
Well, good for you.
And a proud husband, and I try to make this world a better place now.
Is this entity still hanging around you?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
It's with me every single day. but I view it as my guardian angel now, because I choose to look at things in a positive light, and it gives me drive. A ravenous spirit can be turned into something good. I have a ravenous spirit that drives me to better myself.
Well, and I'm glad it works for you that way, because most people, it could get the better part of them. It sounds like you've been able to fight that off. Let's take a few more calls, and then we're out of time. But do be careful with that, Robert. You never know. Ted's truck driving through California. Hey, Ted, welcome to the program.
Good morning, George.
Morning.
You wanted to be a little frightful tonight. I got one for you.
All right.
As a kid, we're about the same age. 1958, they came out with a black and white called The Crawling Eye.
The Crawling Eye.
Have you seen it?
The Crawling Eye. I don't remember that one.
Yeah. About a 10-foot big old eyeball in the Swiss Alp Mountains. Bunch of tentacles. They used to rip people's heads off.
Jeez.
Look it up on the Internet movie database.
All right. The Crawling Eye.
The Crawling Eye.
All right.
I'm wondering if, you know, remember they had that Hollywood fire, and I'm wondering if it got caught in the fire, because I never seen it like the original Peter Pan movie. You know, it just seems to be gone.
Yeah, no, you're right about that.
Crawling Eye. I wonder whatever happened to it.
All right, I'll check into that. The Crawling Eye. We can find that, and we can get to Mr. Lobo, too. He can help us. Mike is in West Palm Beach, Florida. Welcome to the program, Michael.
Hi. Now, if you're interested in this topic that the guest was talking about, I advise all the listeners to look up the following movie on YouTube.
All right, go ahead.
It's called The Last of the Dogmen with Tom Berenger. It came out 20 years ago. And it's exactly what this man was talking about on the air, about people disappearing in a national park. But in the movie, they blame a tribe of the Cheyenne Indians, the lost tribe, who wants to stay away from civilization. And anybody who crosses into their territory on this park is immediately killed and disappears.
And they would grab them.
Movie, by the way, it's a tremendous movie. Sometimes it's on cable once in a while. Tom Berenger acts as a detective, and he figures out what's going on with these Indians and what's happening with them, and tries to make peace with them. But the movie covers all these things this man was talking about before, almost everything. Matter of fact, I think he was inspired by the movie to even do his own movie about it. But I do tell the guests, the people listening, that Last of the Dogmen, check it out on YouTube.
Okay.
It's a magnificent movie filmed in the arcades, the mountains, the Rocky Mountains, with the snow and the ice and everything else there. And the Indians playing the role are real Indians. They look very real. Everything looks very real in the movie. And it's a very frightening movie, too. Because it could be actually happening. Could an actual tribe of these Indians living in these national parks, trying to survive, keeping their ways and get away from civilization, are killing off people who actually accidentally go into their territory and make, you know, don't know these things, and they disappear. They never see them again.
I don't think at this point.
Nice. You should watch the movie also.
Yeah,
right?
I'm gonna look it up. I don't think at this point we can rule anything out. Actually, I mean, these are strange, strange cases, and geez, anything could happen. Look, we're almost out of time. Only have about a minute left, so let me give you some more program notes for the rest of the week. And I just mentioned what we're going to have tomorrow, of course, as we talk about our future on the Red Planet, and William Henry joins us to talk about some spiritual ascension stories. Thursday, Catherine Albrecht joins us about some updates and chip technology and what's going on there. And then Mark Mirabello joins me with a traveler's guide to the afterlife. That'll be Wednesday and Thursday. And in terms of the holiday schedule next week, I will have my Christmas Eve show on Friday, December 23rd. Connie Willis will be on Saturday, the actual Christmas Eve night, and then she's on Sunday, which is Christmas Day, and then I will be back on January 1st for my 14-year anniversary party on New Year's Day. And, of course, we've got you covered on New Year's Eve as well. For Dan Galante, Gina Salvati, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasor, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borelson, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.